الحج أشهر معلومات. My dear respected elders and dear brothers, Hajj indeed is a very sacred ibadah and a journey in the eyes of every Muslim. And rightfully so, because every one of us possess the spark of Iman. But what we need to understand, that the structures and processes that have been put into place is for the benefit of everybody. I was fortunate in this last season of Hajj to accompany the South African Hajj and Umrah Council mission to serve the Hujjaj for this past season. But before we give a little bit of an insight as to what happens and what is the duties that the SAUK mission workers undertake in the kingdom, maybe for us to understand how this entire organization operates. And a peek there into approximately 20 odd years back, the two government representatives, the Foreign Affairs, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and the Department of Foreign Affairs of South Africa, today known as the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, known as DIRCO, had seen the need for such an organization to be formed, to see to the needs of the Hujjaj and the Mu'tamireen, those that will be going for Umrah and for Hajj. And this was constituted that time in the Union Buildings, and many different organizations, also not only confined to Muslim organizations, initially formed the National General Council. Today, the National General Council of SAUK is approximately 26 members, and organizations like the like of UQSA, United Ulama Council of South Africa, the Muslim Judicial Council, the MJC, Jamiatul Ulama KZN, and the likes. Beneath the NJC is where you have the board that is elected on a two-year term, and there is consideration at the moment to widen that term of office. The board sees to the day-to-day running and the affairs of SAUK. Beneath the board, we have the provincial committees, and we have three offices that are manned by three individual personnel. It is only these three office personnel that receive a salary. The rest of the volunteers, the rest of the personnel involved in SAUK, from the NJC to the board, as well as the mission workers, do not benefit from the income that SAUK generates. Obviously, the question is, where does this money all get spent? We will come to that. What is the duty and the function of SAUK? Perpetually, it is administering the accreditation system. If a person intends to go for Hajj, he needs to register on a system, and that is on a first-come, first-served basis. And why is it that we have a quota system? We need to understand the global picture. And there is a population explosion in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond all system and process, but man has to be cognizant of the fact of certain processes and requirements that need to be put in place. The kingdom can only facilitate for a certain amount of people. Mina is 1.9 square miles, and it can only accommodate so many people. Accommodation in the two holy harams can only accommodate so many people. Transport can only be facilitated for so many people. Therefore, the OIC, the Organization for Islamic Cooperation, that is a platform that represents most Muslim countries, had decided on a quota system. And the equation is based on the Muslim population of every country. For every 1,000 Muslim, one visa is issued. And this is how currently South Africa is entertained by the quota of 2,500. But we need to take it into perspective and understand and come out of the sense of entitlement that it is only us. There are countries who have a waiting list in excess of 60 years. South Africa, with our current waiting list, we could see ourselves maybe in an 8 to 10 year period. So one is the administration of this entire accreditation process, and then we see ourselves at the beginning of every Hajj season, where a delegation visits the kingdom to sign protocols with the Ministry of Hajj. Protocols are signed with the Ministry of Hajj and with the different departments that fall under the Ministry of Hajj, like the likes of the Muassasa, the Naqaba, the Adilla, and all the various bodies. And there are meetings that are set up, discussions take place, negotiations take place, contracts are put into place, and then the team returns, and that is when the information is then conveyed to the Hajj operators. Second to that, we have the system where Hajj operators are accredited. So every Hajj season, there has to be an application, and certain documentation has to be submitted. There's an interview process, and there's a code of conduct and an agreement which every accredited Hajj operator is bound by. Then we have the release of the accreditation list, and that transpired. There's a lot of administration that goes through all of this, and majority of all of this is undertaken by volunteers who have other full-time jobs and do not receive any remuneration from Sahuk per se. What happens when the time of Hajj comes? This is where people ask, where is that fee that we are paying for the Hajj? What needs to be known, that fee that currently is being paying, and in the last 2 to 3 years, has been a subsidized fee. And the subsidy was filled in by Sahuk. Nevertheless, at every airport, at the point of departure, according to the information that is handed over to Sahuk, you will find representatives that are there, officials that will ease your way into the check-in and pass the immigration until you board the flight. We need to be cognizant of the fact majority of the Hujjaj that are going on Hajj in these years are people that are not travel savvy. It is for the first time they are boarding an aeroplane. It is for the first time that they are leaving the country. There is apprehension, there is excitement. They do not know what to expect. So obviously, when you are in that position and you appreciate that help and assistance, then only that acknowledgement will come. Obviously, when the Hujjaj land in the kingdom, this is where the first stage comes into place of the role of the Hajj mission workers. How are Hajj mission workers selected? There is a process. It is put out in the public. People need to make an application. A process takes place. A shortlist is formed, and the Hajj mission workers team is selected. In ratio to the quota that South Africa enjoys, currently we are given the allocation of 50 worker visas. Saudi tries to minimize the amount of workers that it takes to give the benefit of the remainder of the visas to the Hujjaj. And as of the past Hajj, 31 of the 50 allocation was given to Hajj workers, and the balance were given to the normal Hujjaj who are on the accreditation system. The mission workers are based primarily in Jeddah, Medina, Makkah, and Azizia. They will generally move with the flow of the Hujjaj depending on the need. It is difficult to give an in-depth explanation of all the duties, but overall for us to understand, what does it encompass? First and foremost, it is accommodation for the 31 mission workers for that period of time, which is between 6 to 9 weeks. We need to understand all these people, they are volunteers, they take leave from their jobs. Some of them may be free and retired, whatever the case may be. Yes, Sahuk does not reimburse them, but there is a subsistence allowance that is given to each mission worker. But I must say it is fairly minimal, that basically just covers his needs of perhaps his laundry and his food while he stays in the kingdom. So there is a substantial amount of sacrifice that goes in through these individuals. At every point of arrival and at every point of departure, according to the information that is submitted to Sahuk, you will find officials that will be there to receive you or to see you off from your point of departure. If it is at an airport, we have a process that unfolds where mission workers are appointed and they apply for access cards. So when you first enter the terminal building, You come into a foreign land, foreign language, you see a multitude of people that maybe you have never seen before, thousands of people converging at one place, and to see a South African that is there to receive you and take you to the entire process of immigration and clearance obviously makes the task very much more easier and the movement for the Hujjaj. The ministry has a target that those who will land in Madina Munawara, the clearance should take place in approximately 55 minutes. In the current year, we have managed to be around 1.5 hours. In Jeddah, it's somewhat longer. We have passed around 2.5 hours. But still, putting these processes in place has seen those days of the past long forgotten, where people would say they would wait at the airport for anything between 10 to 15, 16, 17 hours. So Saud basically in the kingdom plays a supportive role to all these different institutes that fall under the Ministry of Hajj. So one is the clearance at your time of arrival. One is at your point of arrival at the hotels. If you are in Madina Munawara, it is much easier. When a person comes to Makkah Mukarramah, there is more responsibilities that come upon and more processes, because no Haji is allowed to withhold his passport. So passport needs to be handed over to the Muassasa. Every Haji is given a ban. For all this to take place, Saud plays a role in facilitating, in assisting that all this takes place. We have to understand when Hujjaj are moved from one place to the other, the transport that takes place in most cases is busing. To track those buses down, take the details down, convey the necessary information, so if anything happens on the way, it is able to track where those passports eventually are batched, in which office it is batched, how it is batched, if it is required, how it can be traced. So there is a lot of administrative work that takes place. When we come to the 5 days of Hajj, the 5 days of Hajj specifically has a shuttle system where the Hujjaj are transported by the fee that they pay part of the tanazzul from their place of residence, whether it is Makkah Mukarramah or Aziziyah, to Mina, then to Arafah, then to Muzdalifah. That entire process is called the shuttle system or Turududiyah. That facility of creating stations of pickup, administering the numbers that are allocated to the different Hajj operators, the times of departure, it is an entire system. So Saud, prior to the 5 days of Hajj, visits every residence or hotel where the South African Hujjaj are based. We have an interaction. Hujjaj are informed how this process was unfold. We try and encourage them that we need their buy-in. And as much as they abide to the system, we see there is more free movement of what takes place. During the 5 days of Hajj, the members are there on Mina and Arafat, and they are there to assist if any need be. Obviously, as far as, then there's a different aspect that what forms part of the mission, and that is the medical team. This year, the medical team was made up of 11 personnel, 4 of which were doctors, and we operate clinics that we service primary health care to the Hujjaj, and specifically to the South African Hujjaj. There's a clinic set up in Madina Munawara, in Makkah Mukarramah, as well as in Aziziyah. With regards to the 5 days of Hajj, according to the protocols of the ministry, we are not allowed to establish a clinic or do any procedures, but due to some concession and negotiations, our doctors have the opportunity of administering stat doses and drips if need be. So this is the general function, and obviously it goes towards the end of the period of Hajj where the Hujjaj will then depart, and that is also an administrative process of releasing the passport, seeing that the buses depart on the appropriate time, they are received in Jeddah, and they are assisted through the entire immigration. So this entire exercise, it is, although we have so many personnel, 31 to service 2,500, It demands a lot of effort in those scorching temperatures. We do have teams that is allocated different slots, but obviously the call can be any time. So it does become a bit strenuous. It does take it its toll on the mission workers, but definitely they see the light of the end of the tunnel, that even if you are a means of solitude, of assistance to one haji, and you receive that dua and that blessing, or that share in that hajj, that most definitely everything is made for you. As far as the mission is concerned, Saudi does not permit the mission workers to perform hajj. Although you are present there on the day of Arafah, but because this impedes on the duties that is required from them, so Saudi has taken a decision that only mission workers will be given the opportunity who have previously performed their farad hajj. So at the time when they are servicing the hujjaj, they are not allowed to don the ihram because you are there of service. Coming back to the aspect of figures, in a nutshell, it cost the mission just under 2 million rand. So we need to understand what is the reason and what is the purpose for all of this and these structures to be in place. We are not just the ummah ourselves. Amongst the lessons of hajj to be learned is that of unity, is that of sharing, is that of caring, is that of being of assistance and service to others. And if it is not learned at this moment, when else will be able to learn that? To be able to give preference to others over ourselves. These are the lessons, and it was on these planes of the mashair, it was on these planes in the area of the Haramain Sharifain where this beautiful deen has stemmed from. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an opportunity to be there, and every one of us should have this desire to present ourselves over and over again. And if we haven't gone and it's going to be our first, then let us make that sincere intention and that sincere effort that we can present ourselves to be in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the neighborhood of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But amongst these lessons for us to understand is to respect processes, is to respect the need for this entire operation to take place, because it's not only of benefit to ourselves, but it is of benefit to the entire ummah. To give another example, we find as far as the system of the jamarat and the pelting is concerned, many years in succession, we would always hear incidents that would take place at the jamarat. The ministry and the kingdom has gone all out to try and put these processes in place where we see this multi-level bridges have been constructed. They have a system of pelting, and every country is bound by the allocation of certain times that are allocated for you to go and pelt. When you go and pelt, you can have, if you go at your whim and fancy, that is your own choice. But as per regulation, as per the last year, groups are not to go in excess of 250 people at a time. You're not allowed to leave your camp with that group of that size without the company of the mission workers and without the muassasa guys accompanying you. So all of this is systems put in place to see that how disaster can be alleviated, how process can be affected, how people can perform their rituals in a manner that it doesn't affect and impede and cause danger or a hazard to others. So what we need to learn is the need for all of this. It is not just a few people that decided one day that this is what we want to do. Yes, the greatest challenge that is out there is for people of the different sectors and different role players to comply with these measures that have been put into place. When there is non-compliance from certain quarters, this definitely will put a strain on others. So we all need to work together in seeing that how this can be a more functional and a more harmonious exercise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from every one of us. We know one of the ahadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person who is a haji, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the opportunity of intercession. In one narration it says 400 persons, in another narration it says 400 families. It is the right of every haji that we go, we meet them on their return, and the sunnah is to ask them and request them to make dua for us. For most definitely they are in a position where their du'as are accepted. I will also make du'a for you, you make du'a for me. At this point in time, the ummah requires our du'as, and we see the plight of the Ummah in every phase. We should not be negligent of what's going on across the world. Let us rather be cognizant and take it to heart. And the bare minimum that we can do is take out time in the moments of solitude and make dua for the entire Ummah. In conclusion, in regards to the last statement, we do know that the Jamiatul Ulama also is undertaking a collection for our brethren in Burma and Rohingya. So let us see, this is the opportunity once again where we can assist them according to our means. The Jamiatul Ulama delegation has left this morning for Bangladesh to see the projects that is unfolding on the ground and how further we can assist. So the collection is still continuing. Let us take this initiative. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. And the second announcement is that inshallah tomorrow after the Asr Salah, after the Isha, there will be a special program for our students at the Markaz in Joburg, Baytul